I do want to jump into today's message. It's kind of an unusual title. It's a title that Samson uses in the passage that we will read from in a little bit, and it is En HaKor, or collars spraying. And I'm going to have to set the scene before I read the text from Judges chapter 15. If you're turning or opening your Bible up, it'll be Judges 15 where we'll be today. But before I read that passage, I'm going to set the scene leading up to that. So I want to pray first, and then I'm going to walk you through that narrative to catch us up for the text. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can go to it. We thank you that it is fresh. Every one of us, Lord God, maybe we stay away from it because of the carbs, but we love fresh bread. We know your word is fresh bread, Lord God. It is light. It is life to us. So I pray that as we open it up today from Judges chapter 15, a few other verses that we will consider as well as a part of that, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you will equip us as a church, Lord God, that we would grow in you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And church, if you would pray along with me, even from home right now, I pray, Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, let me set this scene here with you so you're caught up. And if you were with us last Sunday, you kind of know where we were last week. This will help you in catching up as well. But I want to walk over a few things that are kind of in the gap between chapter 14 and where we'll pick up in chapter number 15 in the story of Samson. So, if you recall, or if not, this will catch you up, Samson lost his wager. You say, well, what was the wager? Samson, he had made this wager where he had a riddle with the attendants at his wedding. And they had to figure out this riddle of out of the strong, something sweet. Out of the strong, something sweet. That was last Sunday's message. Praise God, it reminded us that sometimes the lion is exactly what we need. Sometimes the obstacle in the path wasn't sent from the devil, but it's sent by God, because God knows that through that obstacle, through that trial, it prepares us for what comes ahead. Well, Samson had offered that up as a riddle to his attendants, and he had made this crazy wager of, if they could figure it out, he had to give them 30 sets of clothing. If they couldn't, they had to give him 30 sets of clothing. What nobody had probably counted on was when Samson lost the wager, and it's a whole story, of course, where they went and tricked his would-be wife, his engaged bride there, to tell them the answer, and she tricked Samson. But Samson got so mad off of that when he lost the wager that he went out and he actually killed 30 Philistines and took their clothing. Now, I know that sounds crazy when we read it today, but the Bible tells us that God was judging the Philistine people for their sins, and Samson was a judge sent from God in that. So we have to remember that in that context, because the story seems crazy. So he took their clothing, he brought them back to the 30 attendants, he gave them the clothes, and then Samson, in a rage, he left. He didn't go through with the wedding. So he's there for his wedding. They've got all this meal. He offers this riddle to his groomsmen. They figure it out. He goes out. He gets all the clothes. He brings them back. In a rage, he walks out and leaves, and that is that. And then something crazy happens. The young woman's father, because Samson left, he gives her to what is just called Samson's friend in the story. Maybe his best man, maybe one of the attendants. I don't know, but that's what happens. Now, we're not in the room together, but I could pick on someone who is in the room here. I could pick on Juliana or Grizel or somebody, and I'm trying to picture Juliana, who was just up here singing, and it's her wedding day, and something happens where her groom gets so angry that he storms out. And then Pastor Joel, Juliana's dad, when the groom storms out, he says, Juliana, now you're going to marry this guy instead. Now, Juliana, you're right over here to my right. How does that deal sound to you? I got a feeling she'd want to call her own shots on that one. But anyway, so it was a different day. Today in a wedding, we ask the who gives this woman to be married to this man. And the father will say, you know, I do, or her mother and I. But this is a day where he's just going to pick. So he gave her to another guy. Samson, after some time goes along, he settles down, he cools off a little, and he comes back later. And it's funny because the story says he brought a goat with him. I guess that was a peace offering of some sort. And he came back to get his bride. And when he got there, he comes in to see her, and her dad says, I thought you didn't want her, so I gave her to your friend. Well, now Samson is mad all over again. This guy is like the Incredible Hulk. If you've been around a little while and you remember the old Incredible Hulk show with Lou Ferrigno, he used to say, don't make me angry because you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. So that was Samson. So now Samson is angry again. He was angry before. He's angry again. And he's so mad, he storms out and he goes and he catches 300 foxes. Not Mr. Fox, who I just showed you. He goes out and he catches 300 actual foxes. Now, many of us know that story. He catches these 300 foxes. I don't know where he found 300 foxes. There's some foxes in my neighborhood. I see them along the way, but never 300, that's for sure. So he catches them. He ties their tails together. Then he ties these little torches to their tails in pairs. He didn't tie all 300 tails together. He tied them together in pairs. He's got 150 pairs. He attaches these torches to their tails. He lights the torches on fire, and then he releases the pairs of foxes that run haphazardly out into the grain and barley fields of the Philistines. Now, the story tells us that he burned all the fields down. These foxes, they burned the olive groves down, the vineyards, everything burned down when these foxes ran through there. So now, of course, the Philistines are upset. They want to know who did this to them. They're not happy. When they find out who it was, this story is crazy. They go to the father and the woman who was going to be Samson's bride. They confront them over it because they find out that the reason Samson did this was because the woman had been given to someone else. So the Philistine people come and they kill her and him. This is like a made-for-movie story or something. It's unbelievable. So they kill the woman. They kill the father. So guess what happens to Samson? Now he's mad again. Of course he's mad again. He's angry over that one. So angry with that one, he goes and attacks the Philistines. He's like a one-man wrecking machine. And after that battle, he went and he hid in a cave. And it is hiding in a cave where the Philistines bring a whole army down to find him. And the people of Judah, where Samson is from, they stop them to say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you coming here? And they tell him, we're coming to get Samson. So the people of Judah say, we'll get him for you. You don't even have to come in. We'll go get him. And they go to get Samson from the cave, and that's where I want to read to you from today. That's the whole crazy foundation that brings us to this text in Judges chapter number 15, verses 11 through 20. Judges 15, 11 through 20. Watch this with me here. It says this. Then 3,000 men from Judah, 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. They said to him, we have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. Samson said, swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. We've learned that Samson is a bit of a poet between his riddles and with this one here with the jawbone. When he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth-Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, you have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi. This is just a rock, just opened up, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Judges 15, 11 through 20. We have water in America. We have water everywhere in the United States. We're very fortunate in that regard. We have water here. We have bottled water, filtered water, tap water, purified water, sparkling water, seltzer water. We have Poland Spring and Dasani and Aquafina and Deer Park and Fiji and Evian and Smart Water and Vitamin Water and an Enhanced Water and flavored water. We can have water from a spring. You can have water from a glacier. You can have water from a mountain stream. We can get it from anywhere. I can go to the store and get water from France, water from Maine, water from Scandinavia, water from Canada. Water is abundant in the United States of America. We're very fortunate. For those of us who are here, water is everywhere. When I was growing up, for a period of time, we lived in a house that had no running water. No running water. In order to get water, we would have to leave our house. And you say, Pastor, where'd you grow up? It was right there in Virginia, but it was out in rural Virginia. Plus I'm really old. So, you know, this was back when we used to ride horse and buggy to school and write our schoolwork on a chalk and slate. But anyway, so we had no water. And to get water, we would go outside and we had a pump on the well where we would pump it with a hand pump. There's somebody watching who knows what I'm talking about. You used to have to get your water from a well. And we would pump the water up with a hand pump and bring it in the house in buckets. That was how we got our water when we lived there. And I'll tell you, water becomes more precious when you work for it. I have been in other countries where people have to walk a mile. In fact, sometimes I've seen people, when we were in Zambia, people walked several miles to get water. They would have to carry it home, and they would roll it in big drums, or they would carry it in buckets to get it back home. And water was precious to them, of course, every drop of it. For Samson, there was no water to be found. This is not a day where he can just run out and grab a bottle of water at the 7-Eleven. There's no water. There is no faucet to turn on. He's in a desolate place. There is nothing there. And in that place, no creek, no stream nearby. He's exhausted. He is dehydrated from the battle. And mighty Samson, as mighty as he is, a man who already has an incredible reputation at this time for his exploits, he fights battles, he defeats armies, he's defeated a lion with his bare hands. The guy caught 300 foxes and tied them together. He just fought 1,000 men with his weapon being the jawbone of a donkey. Mighty Samson is going to die because he can't get a glass of water. That's all he needs. He needs help. Friends, I want you to catch this today as the first thing. We all need help. We all need help. Samson needs help here. Now, it is Samson's arrogance and pride that is going to get him later. He believed his self-sufficiency so strongly that would lead to his downfall later, but he's not there yet. Here he refers to himself as God's servant, as a judge in Israel. And there is a danger that can come from the blessings of God if we're not careful, and that is when God blesses you, you can start to give yourself credit for what God has done. If you aren't careful. He's not there yet, fortunately. But we could start believing we've accomplished things on our own that really God has done in our lives. But we are a people who are completely dependent on God. I want you to think about this with me this morning, church. I can't save my own soul. You can't save your own soul. You can't. I can't pay for my own sins. I can't extend myself the grace that I need to stand in the presence of a holy God. Spiritually speaking, every one of us is in poverty when it comes to God. Every one of us is at a loss. We all need help. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Many years ago, when I first began serving in pastoral ministry, I was in an urban area. And people would stop by our church on a regular basis looking for help. But most of the time, they didn't ask for help. Most of the time, they would ask for money. And these would be random people off the street. We were in the city. We were kind of not right downtown, but close. But there was a lot of foot traffic, and people would just come and knock on the door and come in, and they would come in to ask for help. And when I was new, I was young, I was a bit overwhelmed with it. I wasn't really sure how to. I didn't have the resources for all of these people, and sometimes I was at a loss. I felt like I lacked the discernment at times to figure out how to respond to people. And I was talking to an older minister one time, and I was explaining my whole scenario to him and my dilemma. And he said this to me. He said, when people come in, ask them, do you need money or do you need help? Ask them that question. And I said, I'll remember that. So I went back to my office and I began to ask people that. They would come in and I would say, do you need money or do you need help? Most people would just say they needed money. Now, if you remember the story of Peter at the gate going to the temple at the time of prayer, he had to say to the beggar who was there, silver and gold have I none. So that was what I would generally have to say as well, because I didn't have money to give to the people who would come in. Silver and gold have I none. I have something I can give you, but I don't have that. So people would come in and they would ask, and this would be my response. And I'll never forget, and there were more than one story, but I'll never forget one story in particular. A man came in one day and he came into my office and he told me a story. He told me of coming to America to live with his sister and brother-in-law and how things had not gone well. The job he thought he was going to have hadn't worked out. He had lost favor with his brother-in-law. They had kicked him out. He had to leave the home. And now for some 2-3 weeks, whatever it was, he had simply been sleeping in the street. He was carrying a bag with his clothing. He had nowhere to go. He had no money. He had nothing. And he told me his story. And when he came to the end of it, I asked the man this question. I said, do you need money or do you need help? And he looked up at me and I could see his face as clearly as if he was still here. I remember him so well. He looked up at me and there were tears that began to well up in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, I need help. I need help. And I said, I'm your guy. I can help you. Before the day was out, I had him sleeping in a men's shelter. It was like a men's home, a program where he would be at that night. His laundry was being done. He had had dinner. And we began to make some connections to help him out, to walk through some things he needed. And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I lost contact with him. He relocated after he'd been in there for a few weeks. But a few months later, one time, I was told, hey, there's someone here to see you. And I came out of my office, and there he was again. It was the same man. And he had come back to see me to tell me that now he had a job. He was working security in a neighboring community. He was renting a room. And he says, I came back just to say thank you. I needed help and you helped me. Boy, I love that story to this day because I love being able to help people, as I know you probably do as well. But you know, that man had something on many of us, and that was this. He was at a place where he needed help and he knew he needed help. Sometimes we can think we don't need any help. Sometimes we can be so self-sufficient and so okay on our own that we can think, I don't really need any help. I'm okay on my own. But we all need help because we all need God. We all need something that we can't do on our own. We can't forgive our own sins. We can't get ourselves connected with God. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. And then even once we're in the relationship with Him, there's still going to be points in our life where we need a help that only God can give. Only God can give. You need it. I need it. We all need it along the way. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter your situation. We'll all run into that along the way. And we never want to make the mistake of becoming so self-sufficient that we forget we need God. Because even if the bills are paid and there's money in the bank, we all need help. It's campaign season. You know that. It takes off this time of year, of course. If you have enough money in campaign season, you could have dinner with the president. If you have enough money, you could have dinner with Joe Biden. They'll do these $100,000 plate. I guess if you have enough money, you could have dinner with both of them. Probably not at the same time. I don't know if they would do that for you. But you can buy dinner. You can buy access to world leaders if you have enough money. But you can't have enough money to buy access to the presence of God. You can't, because it's not for sale. Your money can't buy you peace. You can't buy peace of mind. You can't buy peace with God. Only Jesus can bring us that. Only Jesus can do that. And the good news is He already did. Everybody needs Him, praise God. You do and I do. With all Samson had going for him, he recognized in this setting, that he needed supernatural help. For him, it was water. All of us, it's God. Beyond that, there are always going to be things you're going to need that only God can do for you, and He was there. But in our own lives, when the resources aren't there, when the wisdom we need isn't there, when faith is hard to find, when temptation is strong, when courage is lacking, when you don't have what you need, when there's no one there to help you, in that place, even a knucklehead like Samson knew what we all need to know, and that is you need to know where your help comes from. You need to know where your help comes from. Samson had already won some mighty victories in his life at this point. God had already used him in significant ways. Samson already had a reputation. But past victories are not an assurance of future successes. They're only an assurance of who God is. When Jehoshaphat was king, we read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter number 18 of his early successes. He knew some great victories in battle as a king, was led over his enemies there. He led the kingdom through great economic growth and some very prosperous days. But in chapter number 20, when an army comes up to attack him, he doesn't look back on his past successes and say, "I got this. I know what to do." Instead, he prays this. Hear this prayer. He prays, "Oh God, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 121, verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And I want you to catch this. We'll put this one up here for you, actually. Psalm 18:6. It's from the Message. It'll read a little different for you. It says this, Psalm 18:6, "A hostile world." Come on. If there's ever a hostile world, we still live in it today. "A hostile world, I call to God. I cry to God to help me. From his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience." You can have a private audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth. Samson knew he needed help, and he knew who to go to for it. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Samson prayed. In this situation, he prays. And he prays a rhetorical question. He prays a question that he would already know the answer to. He prays, "Lord, surely you didn't bring me this far to leave me now. God, surely you didn't bring me through the past victories and the past successes to leave me now. God, it can't be that you would have moved so mightily in my life that you would now fail me in this place." And of course, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be for him, and it won't be for you. Now, I have a hunch about something. I'm not going to say it's a word of wisdom. I'm not going to say it's a word of knowledge, but I think I know something about you. You say, "Well, Pastor, which one of us are you talking about?" I'm talking about every single one of you who's watching. Every single one of you. You could point at yourself. I think I know something about you. I didn't ask anybody about this ahead of time. I could be wrong. I do remember there was one time when I was wrong about something. It was a long time ago, so I could be wrong a second time, but I just have a hunch. I think I know this about you. I gave it a lot of thought, and I think it's true. I think it's true about you. I think that you've never killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. I could be wrong, but I find it highly unlikely that anybody watching right now or later, whenever you are, that anybody has ever, in fact, I don't even know if any of you have ever even held a jawbone of a donkey. Maybe somebody has done that, but I don't think you've been on the battlefield with one, and I don't think you've killed 1,000 people with one. That's for sure. If you have, you're going to have to tell me the story sometime. But I will tell you this, although you've not fought a battle with the jawbone of a donkey, I will tell you this. The same enemy that wanted to tie up Samson is the one who wants to tie up you. So you might not have in common with him the donkey jawbone story, but every one of us has in common that we have an enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, who wants to bind us just as they wanted to bind him. The same enemy who was trying to bring Samson down is the one trying to bring you down. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to catch this. There have been times in your life, if you look back, just like Samson, you caught Samson's prayer. Samson's prayer was, "God, you wouldn't have brought me this far to fail me now." So Samson was looking back at his past victories. You as well, and I as well, if we look back in our lives, there have been times where the enemy has come against you. There have been times where you have gone through some tough situations and it looked like you weren't going to prevail. That's what happened with him. They catch him. They tied him up with ropes. It looked like that was the case along the way if he was to look back. But when the Spirit of God came in, when God showed up, the Bible says the ropes were like charred flax. They just came right off of him. They were nothing because God delivered him in that situation. It looked like the enemy had him, but God had a plan all along. Now, anyone who have been watching that would have seen Samson being led away tied up by 3,000 men and thought, "That guy's done for. That guy's done for in that situation. And somebody could think the same when they look at you in a situation. They could see you go through a loss or a terrible trial or some time and think, ah, that one might get her. That one might bring him down along the way. And as you look back in your life, you've had times where you've been through trials, even as he did as well. But even though that has happened, here you still are. You're stronger now than you've ever been. You're wiser now. You're wiser in 2020 than you were in 2019. You're more capable now than you were 5 years ago. You have more for you now than you ever had then. And that would be the case with him as well, because of the things that God has done in your life, even as God had done in his life. And that's because you know that your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. God has helped you before, and he is the same God who will help you again, praise God. Samson cried out, Lord, you didn't bring me this far to leave me. I want you to remember in your own life where God has brought you from as well. Remember what God has brought you through. He never failed you. Lord, you could pray the same prayer. I could pray the same prayer. God, you met my needs in the past. Surely you didn't do that to fail me this time. God, you brought me through the trial before. Surely you didn't do that to not come through for me in this set of circumstances so I could be defeated now. And that's never the case, because God's plan is always victory. God's plan is triumph. God's plan is overcoming. God's plan is to show himself strong. It was for Samson, and it is for you as well. Samson would lose out on a lot later in life because of his own arrogance and foolish decisions, but God never failed him. And God won't fail you either. He never does that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we know where our help comes from. We know we need help. We know where our help comes from. And that's so important, because our God is a God who can make something from nothing. Just as a final thought today, our God can make something from nothing. When Samson cried out to God, it's incredible what God did. God split the hollow. God split the rock, and water came forth. Water came out from an underground spring. Samson called that place En HaKor. It meant caller's spring, or spring of the caller. He meant, I called out and a spring came forth. He had called for it and God had answered. God loves to do this. God loves to do this. The Bible says that his power is made perfect in our weakness. The book of Judges was written many years after Samson's life, but the writer wrote that the spring was still there. It was still testifying of what God had done. It was still called En HaKor, caller's spring in that situation. Can you imagine being in Samson's situation? Can you imagine being so dehydrated you feel like you're about to die? There's nothing left. You're about to pass out. You don't have anything left. And you look down and all there is dry, parched ground and rocks, and that's all you see. I asked the question, can you imagine it? I know the answer is yes. I know that you can, because you've looked at your own resources. You looked at your own ability somewhere along the way. You've looked at your situation and known, what I have is not enough. What I have can't get me through this. But nothing is too hard for God. Water from a rock, no problem. God had experience with it. You remember Moses? Moses needed water as well, and God had brought water from a rock. When Samson prays, God's like, oh, I've already done this one before. This one isn't even all that original. I can get water from rocks. This is not too hard for me. God still does such things as well. The same God who moved a rock to let Jesus out of the tomb opens rocks and cracks rocks open so water can flow out of them. No matter how parched, how dry, how defeated a situation look, God can crack it open and bring forth life. A valley of dry bones, what does God tell Ezekiel? Speak life to the bones. Nothing is ever too dead or too far gone for God. When we come to a place where it looks like there's no way out, it is there that God wants to give each and every one of us our own En HaKor, our own caller spring. And you, like me, like Samson, you can probably look back in your life as well and see some times where you were at a place where you thought, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this one, and God came through. That's your En HaKor. That's when you were in a place where there was no way, and then God made a way. That's that En HaKor in your life. God has done it in the past, but I want to assure you, and I believe this, that there are new ones ahead of you as well. And you might be in a place where you need one right now, where you need to call out to God and say, God, God, I don't have what I need, but I know that my help comes from you. And it is in that place where what looks like death, God cracks it open and he brings forth life. And you're provided with that collar spring, that in-hakor in your life as well, praise God. Anything you can look back on where God brought you through is that, God will give you new ones as well. And I can assure you of it, because just as with Samson, it's still true, God didn't bring you this far to leave you. He wouldn't do that. He didn't do it for him. He won't do it for you. I want to ask Griselle to come up with me if she would. I want to pull this together. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for every one of us. I want to pray to the God who gave Samson that in-hakor for God to bring them in your life as well. I know that so many of us can testify of them in the past. When Judges was written, it wasn't written in the moment. It was written looking back. And the author said, that spring is still there. They were still able to walk up to it so many years later and say, wow, look at what God did. Look at how God brought forth life in this situation. It still provided it. But there's somebody listening to me right now where you need an in-hakor today. You need an in-hakor today. It could be in so many different situations in your life. But like Samson, you're at a place where your resources can't provide for you what you have need of on your own. In that place, that's the place where it is, God, I need my own collar spring. I need that in-hakor in my life, a place where life will come out of, where only you can get the glory for it, God, where it will all go to you. So whatever that place is in your life, I want you to believe God for it right now when I pray. Whatever the situation that would bring you to it, I want you to get that in your mind, that in your heart right now, and I'm going to pray for God to bring forth life in your situation as well. Come on, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. What a tremendous testimony. You brought Samson through so many battles. You brought Samson through so many situations. You brought so many victories, but those past victories weren't enough when he came to that place that was dry. Most of us right now, Lord God, we could testify as well, and maybe every one of us listening right now, we could testify as well of past victories. They've been wonderful. You've done some great things in our lives. We can look back and see you along the way and what you've brought us through. And for that, we say thank you, Lord God. Our help has come from you. But God, in the dry place, yesterday's success is just, they're not enough for us. So right now, I pray over my brothers and my sisters, young and old, wherever we are at this time. And I'm asking for new callers springs, Lord God. I'm praying in hakor over the life of your church this morning, Lord God. I'm praying you, the God who split the hollow and brought forth the spring. I pray, Lord God, that wherever there is, whatever is dry in our lives, maybe it's in our resources, maybe we're just trapped and don't know what to do, maybe we're lost, maybe it's in a relationship. I don't know what it is. It's so many different lives, so many different things we could be in. Whatever it is, I'm praying, God, right now, to you, the maker of heaven and earth, our help comes from you, that you would split the hollow in hakor, collar spring. Bring it forth. Bring it over my brother's life in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bring it over my sister's life in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Come on, if you're believing for a fresh spring in your life, I want you right now at home, wherever you're at, to wave a hand or lift your hands and say, God, right here, bring it forth in hakor. I believe for a fresh spring in my life, Lord God, for you to do what only you can do. God, I'm on my own. I don't have enough, but would you bring it forth? Split the hollow, Lord God, and bring forth life in hakor. I pray it over us. I pray it over every child of yours right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would do it in such a way that only you could get the glory. In Samson's story, there are a lot of stories about Samson, Lord God, that we read that where we think, wow, Samson was unbelievable with what he did. But this isn't one of them. This isn't one of them. This is a story where all we get out of it is what you did. What you did. I pray that you would move so mightily in our lives that only you can get the glory for it, Lord God. Provide supernaturally, heal, direct, move, restore, I pray. In hakor, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray it over my brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to encourage you to hold on to that. I want to encourage you to believe for life in your situation. And I want to encourage you, if you are not in a dry place right now, because they'll come. Samson wasn't always in one, but he got to one. We've been through that as well, the ups and downs of life. I want you to be equipped with this word, that when you come to the place where what you have is not enough, that you know what? I know who to go to. I know that God wouldn't have brought me this far to let me down now. I know He will bring forth life once again. Hold on to that. God bless you. Live a victorious week in Christ Jesus this week. Praise God. It was good to be with you this morning. Have a great day.